Hey, I don't know if all of y'all know me, much less Ronnie, but I'm Pastor Dan, and this is Ronnie Vitulli. He's one of our elders, and this summer most of our elders are preaching, and so you're in for a treat. God's been speaking to his heart, and he's going to speak to ours if we'll open our ears and listen to God speak through him. And so we're grateful for God raising up many, many godly men in this congregation with the ability to lead and serve the Lord, and the more of us there are, the more we can do for the kingdom. And Ronnie is one of those guys, and I'm really proud of him and the things the Lord's been doing in his life over the past year or so. It's mind-blowing, and if any portion of that is able to come through in his teaching and preaching this morning, you're going to be blessed. And so I want to lift him up in prayer and then turn him loose. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you created the mouth and the tongue, and you are so capable of speaking through it. You could even speak through a donkey when you choose. And so our hope and our faith this morning, and every time we come in this place, it's never in a man, but it's always in you. And we pray in the strong name of Jesus that as your word is opened, that the resurrected Christ would address us through his word as Ronnie speaks to us this morning. And so I pray that he would cast all his cares upon you and that he would trust you, that you'd physically strengthen him and mentally and emotionally strengthen him. And I do pray that you'd use him to speak to us in a mighty way this morning. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for what you're going to do. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You bet.
Good morning. I think I was just called a donkey. So first of all, why I'm up here, Dan kind of explained that. He has all the elders coming up here this summer to preach to everybody one Sunday. I know on Father's Day we have a lot of new people that come out. And so I'm obviously not the pastor. I'm not the second string, not the third string. Kind of like in Waterboy, if you ever saw the movie, I'm Bobby Boucher. I'm the Waterboy. I'm not even on the roster. I would like to wish everybody a happy Father's Day, and this can be a difficult day. It's a happy day. For the people that still have their fathers, I encourage each child to contact their father, and if they can, spend some time with them. There are many of us like me that have lost their father. And I'll reflect back and thank God that I had a father the way I had, and just praise him for that. And kind of on the subject that we're going to talk about today, there may be some of y'all that may be estranged from your father. And this is very important too. If you are in that situation, I'm going to reach out to y'all and say, you know, maybe have a second thought about that and look at that again and be close to your father. And maybe this is the day you call him and say, hey, I know we haven't had a great relationship. We haven't been close, but I love you and God gave me you. So maybe want to think about that. So one of the things that Dan, when he was kind of coaching me and maybe all of us, he said, Ronnie, if you be short, they're going to like you. So it reminded me of my days. I grew up in a Catholic church. I went to a Catholic church almost every Sunday until I was about 17. And it was a pretty large church in Houston. We had four priests and we had four services. And usually one of them took one service. So the way it worked is when the organ started to play, you looked down the aisle and you saw who was going to be preaching. And if you got Father Pieri, he was the Monsignor, you knew that you were going to get home early. So I'm not promising to be Father Pieri, but we may get there. So what I'm talking about today is living in harmony. I want to start out with an ad in a Lawrence, Kansas paper. It was an ad about a service. They were advertising a service. It says, we will oil your sewing machine and adjust the tension in your home for only $1. Well, the Reader's Digest got hold of this, and you know how, if you know the magazine, people can comment on that. And someone wrote, who cares if they oil the sewing machine? If only someone could adjust the tension in our homes, we would be gladly pay $100. So, I can speak for myself. In my life, I am in harmony if everyone is doing what I want them to do. So now that I know that's not true harmony, I'm going to read out of Colossians 3:15 through 17. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether at work or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." I'd like to read one more verse. This is in 1 John 4:20. Says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen." The Holy Spirit indwells in every believer and draws us into fellowship with God and those who all love God. The instant you believe in Christ, you become one body of Christ. We're unified. This fellowship of the Spirit is always two-way, toward God and toward other Christians. In fact, John says that if we claim to love God, but do not love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're lying. In any conflict with a fellow Christian, I must rely on the Spirit to be the oil, to lubricate the friction, so that I can love and get along with another person. When a few years ago, I was asked to be on the elder board, I had reservations, to say the least. I didn't think I was qualified. I still don't think I'm qualified. But being involved in city leadership, I knew how that worked, and I wasn't sure how leadership in the church was going to work for me. And when I getting on board, after it was a transition period for our church, and we had some new elders coming in, some elders leaving, and different things. And I found that unity was not one of our strong points at that time. But through the grace of Jesus, who not only talked to us as individuals, but brought us a pastor that helped unify us, I'm here today to stand in front of y'all saying our elder board is the most unified that it's been, certainly since I've been here. And I can speak to each one of them, and I love them to death. I know they'd do anything for me, and I'd do anything for them. So I want you to know that your church leadership is unified in a Christ way. So if y'all would join me in prayer real quick. Dear Father, I know this is a difficult subject for each of us to deal with. Harmony and forgiveness does not come easy for us, but it comes easy for you. And I just ask that we open our hearts up and our hearts are softened to let your words soak into our hearts and just allow us to act like Jesus. It's I know it sounds simple, but that's what it is. Just let's reflect Jesus. And I ask this in His name. Amen. So harmony and specifically forgiveness is something that's real near and dear to me. It's something that's brought me much closer to Jesus. Living in harmony with another, with another person, specifically forgiving those who have harmed you, and what does it look like? When we are harmed, we generally want justice. And if we don't get justice, we tend to ignore the one that harms us. We are more interested in finding out ways around forgiveness than obeying the words of Jesus. We have discussed this in this church many times about forgiveness. We've discussed it in men's group. We've discussed it in Bible studies. I've talked to many of y'all one-on-one about forgiveness. Forgiving. So what does that mean? What does it look like? Well, I can tell you, in my opinion, it's not just words, but it's actions. We have all been wronged by someone. Some instances seem real trivial, and others are real serious. We have grievances. Husbands and wives, children and their parents, parents and their children. We have problems with our siblings, our bosses, our cousins, our friends. Many of us have experienced some deep hurt from loved ones. So how do we deal with this? When I ask these questions to myself, I just turn to Jesus and see what He said. See what He did. turn to his words and examples in the Bible. Several years ago, I know it was real popular, there used to be these rubber bracelets and they had the initials WWJD, which stood for What Would Jesus Do? When I was kind of studying for this study, I felt like I didn't have to imagine what would Jesus do. All I had to do is look at his example. So I kind of changed the words a little bit. I said, what would Jesus did? I know it's not good English, but that's as far as we have to go. All we have to do is observe him and see what he does in his walk. So I want to show you all a quick video of something. I'm not sure if that's the light, but I'm going to turn these lights off real quick. I'm going to show you a quick video of an example of what Jesus did. And, golly, where's that thing? Of what Jesus did, he was wronged by somebody really close to him. And I want y'all to watch this video with me real quick.
Tama, Adoni, Albeta Surin, Afalmot,
Aminamer Analak, Tipitram Tangalak Krat in Yunuth, Tekakathani Thiluthuth.
So, think about that. You know, Peter had been with Jesus for 3 years or so, and here he's denying his existence, basically. I probably could leave this. Let me leave these off real quick. It's like another video I want to show you real quick. So Jesus was denied by Peter, which was really a great offense. So kind of let's look how Jesus responded to it, and kind of think about how you may respond to that. We could see the second video.
And who do you say that I am?
I see you are the Messiah. The Son of the Living God.
I
in saying that, Simon Barjona. You show yourself to be blessed among men. Flesh and blood have not revealed this truth to you. It has come from my Father in heaven. So now I will call you Peter. This rock I will build what I must call my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. To you I give the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
So, how did Jesus retaliate against Peter? He made him the leader of the church. And would we do that when people wrong us as much as Peter wronged Jesus? So, members of a family sometimes argue and fight. That's no doubt about that. This can and does happen in our Christian families. But God does not want this. People argue because we become selfish and proud. Humble people care more about other people than they care about themselves. They are kind and do not fight. Sin pulls people out of harmony with their family in Christ. Sin estranges us not only from Jesus, but from our family and friends. You see this all the time. I want to share my story. I'm the youngest of four boys, and I grew up in a Christian family. All four was married. We each had three children. We were a very close family. We lived in Houston and we all lived close together. And we met probably no fewer than two times a month, the whole family, all the grandkids and everything. In fact, when Connie and I got married, she asked me, does all Italian families get together as often as y'all do? And we did. So, but in about 15 years ago, my dad passed away. And so in the family dynamic, there was a leadership change, so to speak. I'd already had my oldest brother deceased before this. And so there was me and my two other brothers remaining. And so there was with this leadership change, there was also other issues. My mom was getting older, and she started needing care too. And so I think some jealousy and different things kind of played into the mix. And this close-knit family started acting different. I started seeing something different. My mom, in a loving way, started to divide some of her assets up and give things to the family so, you know, that she could see some of that. And it was out of love that she did that. But what it was doing, because of the way we were, me and my brothers were at the time, it actually was like putting gas on a fire. When she passed away, it turned out that me and one of my brothers did not talk to my other brother hardly at all. In fact, we didn't talk to him at all. And this was just, and it alienated the family and everything. And it's for me, it's very hurtful. So, and by the way, I want to talk about a little thing here about the children's moments I did a few weeks ago. About it's easy to love someone that loves you. But that is not what we are called to do. We are called to love our enemy. The same thing for forgiveness. It is easy to forgive someone if you find out that they really didn't commit the atrocity that you thought they did. So it's easy to forget them. What true forgiveness comes from is when they really did harm you and you still forgive them. I would like to read Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out be on guard against this kind of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus goes on to tell him about the parable about the rich man and tearing down of the barn. So we are all proclaimed to be Christians in my family, but shouldn't there be some visible signs by our actions? Would you please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Verse 32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Like Josh spoke of last week, there's an endless supply of love that God provides. Well, forgiveness is also endless. It knows no limit, even up to 70 times 7. Christ has forgiven us, so what is true forgiveness? Well, first of all, it's done freely without merit. Secondly, it's done fully. For Jesus has forgiven every one of my offenses. And it's done liberally. He has forgiven many of my offenses. For my sins have been innumerable. This is to be the rule which we are to observe in forgiving others. We are to do it freely, fully, and liberally. The forgiveness is to be in its entirety, is to be cordial and constant. We are not to rake up old offenses and charge them again. We are to treat them as though they never offended. So what is not forgiveness? Well, I'm going to quote something out of my favorite movie. Doc Holliday from the movie Tombstone said about Wyatt Earp after Wyatt's brother was murdered. He said, "No, make no mistake, it's not revenge he's after, it's a reckoning." Well, this is not Jesus-like. Just remember the video I showed. That's Jesus up there. Let me read a few more verses concerning forgiveness. In Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." And let me comment on this a little bit. There's no misunderstandings. Matthew 6 does not teach us that our internal destiny is based on us forgiving others. But our relationship with God will be damaged if we refuse to pardon those who have offended us. The sins of ours have been paid by Jesus on the cross. And I will let Dan expand on that in another sermon. Matthew 18, 21, 22. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times." And he followed this with a parable about, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." In Mark 11, 25, it says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." In Luke 6, 37, it says, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." And in Luke 17, 3 and 4, it says, "So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times he comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." So, why does Jesus talk so much about forgiveness? Well, what it does, it reflects His Father's character. When we forgive, we reflect God's character, which in turn glorifies our Father. The Scripture says in Proverbs 19:11, "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. It is more honorable to bury an injury than to revenge it. Wrath denotes weakness." So the alternative to forgiveness is bitterness and resentment. A man named Dale Carnegie, he writes books about self-improvement and some business training. He shared this story. He said he was making a visit to Yellowstone Park where he saw a grizzly bear. The huge animal was in the center of a clearing, feeding on some discarded camp food. For several minutes he feasted alone. No other creature dared to draw near. After a few moments, a skunk walked through the meadow toward the food and took his place next to the grizzly. The bear didn't object, and Carnegie knew why. He said, "The grizzly," he said, "knew the high cost of getting even." I've heard it said that forgiveness releases us physically and emotionally, and which to me is part of the story, but it also yields a positive aspect of life on the one you are forgiving, just as God's grace of forgiveness has on our own life. Paul entered all kinds of persecution and pain in order to share Christ. Jesus endured the pain and the shame of the cross to redeem us. When we endure and forgive rather than strike back and resent, we open the doorway of grace to someone else. A man named Thomas Watson was an author back in the 1600s, and he wrote a book on the spiritual repentance. And Watson wrote, When have we truly forgiven? When we strive against all thoughts of revenge, when we will not do our enemies mischief, but wish well to them, grieve at their calamities, pray for, seek reconciliation with them, and show ourselves ready on all occasions to relieve them. This is gospel forgiving. Forgiveness has taken place when we can honestly say or seek good for the other person. It is when we make an effort to restore a relationship rather than avoid the relationship. Forgiveness has taken place when past actions no longer hold a present bearing. Forgiveness is real when hate replaces love. We also need to realize that we cannot wait for someone else to make that first move. We feel the person who offended us should be the one to make the first move. However, the Lord does not give us no such rule. The rule the Lord gives us is simply this: forgive as I have forgiven you. And if you remember, God made the first move toward us. But true forgiveness involves forgetting. I've heard people say, "I can forgive, but I can't forget." Well, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 says, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more." Thank God for that. Look, I know this is a tough deal in most everyone's life. We have all had someone out there who has hurt us, or we have hurt someone. But we are Christians. You know, we listen to pastors preach this, and we attend Bible studies, and we read our Bible, and we hear God talk to us through the Bible about forgiveness. It may be one of the toughest things that we are commanded to do, and we are commanded to do this. We know about love and forgiveness, but the issue is the power. We just don't have the power on our own, but we have Jesus, and He has unlimited power, if we just ask Him. Jesus' power is amazing. One more story about forgiveness and how Jesus is our only hope in making this a reality. This is a true story about a lady. Her name was Corrie ten Boom. This Dutch woman and her family were sent to Auschwitz, which was a German concentration camp in Poland, for hiding Jews in their home during the Second World War. Corrie was a Christian woman and had been invited to speak at a conference in Portland, Oregon. This is what she had to say. She said, "My name is Corrie ten Boom, and I am a murderer." There was total silence. "You see, when I was in a prison camp, I saw the same guard day in and day out. He was the one who mocked and sneered at us when we were stripped naked and taken into the showers. He spat on us in contempt, and I hated him. I hated him with every fiber of my being." And Jesus says, when you hate someone, you are guilty of murder. "When we were freed, I left Germany, vowing never to return." Corrie ten Boom continued, "But I was invited back there to speak. I didn't want to go, but I felt the Lord nudging me. Very reluctantly, I went. My first talk was on forgiveness. Suddenly, as I was speaking, I saw to my horror that same prison guard sitting in the audience. There was no way that he would recognize me. but I could never forget his face, never. It was clear to me from the radiant look on his face while I spoke that he had been converted since I saw him last. After I finished speaking, he came up and said with a beaming smile, "Ah, this dear sister Corey, isn't it wonderful how God forgives?" And he extended his hand for a shake. All I felt as I looked at him was hate. I said to the Lord silently, "There is nothing to me that could ever love that man. I hate him for what he did to me and to my family. But you tell us that we are to love our enemies. That's impossible for me. But nothing is impossible for you. So if you expect me to love this man, it's going to have to come from you. Because all I feel is hate." She went on to say that at that moment she felt nudged to only do one thing. "Put out your hand, Corey," the Lord seemed to say. Then she said, "It took all the years that I had quietly obeyed God in obscurity to do the hardest thing I have ever done in my life. I put out my hand." Then she said, something remarkable happened. "It was only after my simple act of obedience that I felt something almost like warm oil being poured over me. And with it came the unmistakable message, 'Well done, Corey. That's how my children behave.' And the hate in my heart was absorbed and gone. And so one murderer embraced another murderer, but in the love of Christ. So maybe your hurt is old. Maybe a parent abused you, or your husband or wife has been unfaithful. A boss promised you a promotion, but he chose his brother-in-law. Your brother or sister is a family favorite and seems to get everything their way. You can be hurt and bitter at the same time. We have a decision to make. We can put the fire out or pour gas on it. We can be like Jesus or follow Satan. Forgiveness is a true act of saying, 'I am trusting God.' Leave this issue to the God Almighty. Let the grace of Jesus work in you and through you." So how has this worked out in my life? Well, I'm going to be honest, I struggle. Still, every day. But by the grace of God, I've reconciled with my brother that I didn't talk to for 2 and 3 years. My other brother still will not talk to him, but I'm praying. I think God is preparing me to confront this. I attribute all of this to reading the Bible and listening to what my pastors have said and my brothers and sisters in Christ have to say. And Andy spoke with this earlier. So when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." So this is Jesus. Jesus was looking down from the cross, and this is what he saw. And it was distressing to him. He saw the Roman soldiers were casting lots for his clothing. He saw criminals on each side of him were reviling him. He saw religious leaders were mocking him. And the crowd was blaspheming him. And what does he say? "Father, forgive them." In closing, I'd like to read you an anonymous quote. It says, "For wolves to devour lambs is no wonder. For lambs to devour lambs is a monstrosity." Would you please pray with me? Father, I know this is a tough deal for us to deal with, but as we have looked and read in the Bible, you have ultimate strength. And we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't extend that. It's just not in our being, but it is in yours. And so I ask that you help us when it comes time to forgive and to reconcile and to be in harmony. I ask that you come to us and you talk to us and you tell us, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I ask this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.